Well, it's good to be back home. I enjoyed being in Kentucky, the promised land, for a few days. And I probably got a glow about me that, like Moses had, you know, on the mountain and put a vet. No. But glad to be back home. It was a good meeting. I enjoyed being with the folks up there. Been with them a few times and or another time, and glad to be able to be with them. And but glad to be back home down in Alabama again. Appreciate so much everyone's presence today, and appreciate the fact that you're here to worship and honor the Lord. And I hope that our time that we spend together in worshiping and remembering the Lord's death has glorified God, has encouraged each of us. I want to thank publicly Kevin for preaching and teaching last Sunday. Understand he did a great job and appreciate him and his efforts very, very much. Also, Damon for doing the Bible class on Wednesday evening. I got to listen to that lesson already, and I thought he did a really good job with that, and appreciate his efforts as well. So today, I want to talk to us a little bit about, we're going to have a study today, more than per se a sermon. And by study, I mean I'm going to talk about some things that I would like for you to give serious thought and consideration to. We've been in the midst of this pandemic, and to be perfectly honest with everyone, I don't think there's any of us that ever expected this, let alone had planned or had plans if something like this had ever happened. And so when the elders decided to live stream, we did parking lot, and then we're back in the building, and then we got all three. It's been a challenge for everyone. And there's been thoughts by folks on all ends of the spectrum. Not about the virus per se, although that's true, but just about how we go about serving God and worshiping God. And thus far, I've really not looked at or talked about some of the nuts and bolts of the idea of how we worship God and how we serve God and what God intends for us to do. And so I thought I would do that a little bit today. So I hope that you will listen carefully to what I will be presenting to you, and certainly take notes, take note of what I'm saying. And certainly, I highly expect that there will be some disagreements about some of the things I say today. I have no idea what the elders are going to say about it. I usually don't run anything by them about what I'm going to preach anyway. But I want everyone seriously to take very sobering thoughts about what we're talking about. And even tonight in our Bible class, before we get back to our regular study, if you have questions or comments that you would like to make, some issue with whatever, I think that would be a great time to be able to express or ask whatever you'd like to ask. So this is how I'm going to start the lesson today. Is your ox in a whale? Now, that sounds like the perfect opening statement, right? Is your ox in a whale? Well, I'm going to begin in Luke chapter 14 and invite you to take your Bibles and study with us this morning from Luke chapter 14. And we're going to read the first six verses to begin with. Luke 14, beginning at verse 1. And it came about when he went into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, that they were watching him closely. And there in front of him was a certain man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered and spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent. And he took hold of him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which one of you shall have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not. They could make no reply to this. Well, here is an interesting passage. And just this past Wednesday night, Damon's lesson was all about the idea of Jesus, from the Jewish perspective, breaking the Sabbath law. And I thought he did a great job with that. I want us to look at the Sabbath law just for a brief moment. In the book of Deuteronomy here, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, Beginning at verse 12, the text says, "Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord." And so on and so forth. The idea that I wanted to just show you and demonstrate to you is the fact that there actually is a law, and I think all of us know that, there is a Sabbath law, that you are to keep that Sabbath law holy. And this law says there is to be no work to be done. Well, there is no exception or exemption from this law. There's not listed any exemptions. You know, like the marriage law that Jesus gives, he says, except it be. Well, he gave an exemption, you see. But in the Sabbath law, there was no exemption given. So then, what did the ox in a well, would that have to do with anything? Where did that come from? So when we stop to consider what Jesus says in Luke 14 again, and I'll have you to turn back to that just briefly to look, you notice that Jesus said in verse 5, he says, "Well, which one of you shall have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on a Sabbath day?" Now again, I'm trying to stress something here. It's very, very important. The law made a direct statement, no exemptions stated. But Jesus reasoned and said, when he was questioned about healing on the Sabbath, he brings up an ox in a well. Well, what did that have to do with the price of rice in China? Well, here's what is important to be noticed with a number of texts in the New Testament, many of which Damon covered with you all Wednesday evening. There's not a stated right or law of exemption, but rather it is by mercy. We don't really talk about that a lot, but we are in a prime situation to where we need to talk about that. Well, first of all, let's kind of get this behind us. How did the ox get in the ditch anyway? How did the ox get there? Well, you'll notice that Jesus really, I think he makes that point, and it makes a big difference. Because in the text, he says, an ox that falls into a well. I think that is obvious that it's an accident. Something happened accidentally on the Sabbath. Now what do you do? Well, it's not planned, nor is it anticipated. Deliberate plans to avoid our duty. Is the ox in the well because we pushed him in? Versus, is it accidental? And is the ox in the well has to be considered, and it's just for our comfort or ease? I hope you're following along with what I'm talking about, and I'm hoping you're already to the crossroads of where we're headed. And I think it's important that we really kind of do the mental gymnastics of that. And I will say to you, honestly, there has been a buzz among brethren all over the country, yea, all over the world, about what we do. I've had a preacher call me from out of the country early on and says, what is the biblical precedent for us and what we do when there's this pandemic and government is saying stay home? What do we do? Well, there's been a lot of debate about that. Does the government have the right to say, is there an exemption? You know, we're supposed to assemble. I mean, how do you handle all of that? Well, we've not really talked about all the nuts and bolts of that. This is just one small aspect of it. The law was plain. There was to be no work on the Sabbath. Period. That was the law. However, mercy, and another word we could use for mercy is compassion. Compassion pardoned the violation because of the circumstance. Now I want to give you another example, and I think this was discussed on Wednesday night as well. Y'all covered Matthew 12 a little bit, didn't you? About David, Damon? Didn't y'all cover that?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not here to refute anything that Damon said, although I think he was completely wrong and all of that. No, he did great. Damon did a great job on that text. But I want to present to you just a couple of other thoughts for your consideration. If you look at the text, and let's read this text briefly here. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1. "And at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath through the grain fields, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat." First of all, what the disciples were doing by picking the grain was lawful. You were allowed to go through some man's field. If you're hungry, you could take your hand and pull off grain and eat it. And that was not a violation of the law. And I think I remember even Damon discussing the idea of what the law says. But if you go out there and take a sickle and you start cutting, you violated the law. The question is, can you do that on the Sabbath? Can you gather this grain and eat on the Sabbath? Verse 2, "But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Behold, your disciples do what is not lawful to be done on the Sabbath.'" So I don't think they're questioning the law in regards to their having the right to use their hand and pick the grain in order to eat it. They were doing that on the Sabbath. You follow me? Verse 3, "But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did? When he became hungry, he and his companions..." Now, Mark, rather than use the word hungry, uses the word need. Now, I want you to follow this. I think the idea is that Jesus is saying his disciples were hungry. They had a need. So they pulled the grain, which is legal, but they did it on a Sabbath to eat. Jesus then uses the example of David. Verse 4, "And he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread," or the shoe bread, "which was not lawful for him to eat." So let's stop right there. It was not lawful for David to eat the shoe bread. Let me say that one more time. It was not lawful for David to eat the shoe bread. He ate the shoe bread. What does that equal? Sin. That's what it equals. If it's not lawful for him to do it, but he did it, that's sin, right? Well, notice the text. "Nor for those who were with him, but for the priest alone." Verse 5. "Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent?" Now Jesus throws in another illustration by the fact that there's absolutely to be no work on the Sabbath, right? That's the law. But do the priests break that law? Yes. How do they break that law? By working with the sacrifices and so forth that is to be made. That's work. All right? Now, against all what brethren say, preachers don't work. You know, they don't work. They preach on Sunday, you know, 3 hours a week, you know, and barely call that work. Well, here I want you to notice, in my defense, I want you to notice that Jesus refers to what the priest did on the Sabbath was work. But he says they're not guilty of violating the law. So, there are exemptions. He states one. In fact, there might be more than one exemption. Go on and notice in the text, "But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here." All right? He's talking about himself and his service on the Sabbath. Verse 7. "But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would have not condemned the innocent." Now, who are the innocent? Well, I think his disciples are innocent of breaking the Sabbath law. That's what Jesus is saying. But who else is innocent? While the law said what David did, he broke the law, but under the circumstance, because of his need, he received compassion and mercy. I think that's the very point. Now, some conclude, and I think again maybe Damon brought this up, and I can't argue against this, is the fact that Jesus was saying to the Jews, "Look, you know what David did. Now, him eating the shoe bread is not what caused Saul to later kill the priests. David lying is what caused the death of the priests. His lying was not justified. But Jesus is talking about the eating of the shoe bread. Some say, well, the Jews were saying David was okay with what he did, but then tell Jesus that his disciples were wrong. And that might be the comparison. But I want to suggest to you, and I know this is kind of deep, and this is not just fluff. We're kind of digging in here a little bit. But I want you to notice in this text the possibility when Jesus brings up in the idea of verse 7, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. I think he's not only appealing to his disciples, that the Jews should not be out here trying to throw rocks at the Jew, at his disciples because they picked grain on the Sabbath. They're in need. They're hungry. Give them a break. You need mercy and compassion there. The same in regards to David. Did David break the law? Yes. Was he in need, he and his men? Yes. So what was Jesus saying? Give them a break. Have mercy and compassion there. All right? This is a difficult passage. But I'm trying to establish a fact that God has demonstrated his mercy and compassion when someone has definitely, in some cases, violated the law. Was a Jew allowed to do good deeds on the Sabbath? But what had the Jew done? Well, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You couldn't do anything. You couldn't scratch your nose more than three times. No, I added that. Yes, that. They didn't say that. But they had got that picky about things. Okay? Well, they could water their ox, Jesus said. You do that, they say, he said. You can circumcise. You know, they had to circumcise the child on the eighth day. Well, what if the eighth day came on the Sabbath day? Could they circumcise? No. This is Sabbath day. No work can be done. We'll have to do it on the ninth day. No. They circumcised that child on the eighth day. Were they working? Yes. Is that an exemption? Yes. The Jews said. In this very text, pulling the sheep out of the well. Let's read the rest of this Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 through 14. And departing from there, he went to the synagogue. And behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And they questioned him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Don't you think that this is a carryover? Don't you think some folks were following Jesus and they'd just gone through all of that situation there and him talking about David? And then they go to another place, they go into a synagogue, and there's some dude brings up and says, hey, I got a question. And he was the same dude that was over there, heard that discussion. He's bringing it up again. Okay? Brethren, do the same here. You know, we carry it over and want to know and talk about it more. All right, verse 10, and behold, there was a man withered hand, and they questioned him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? In order that they might accuse him, they had an ulterior motive. Verse 11, and he said to them, what man shall there be among you who shall have one sheep, and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath? Will he not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much value then, much more value then is a man than a sheep? So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. And it was restored to normal, like the other. And the Pharisees went out and counseled together against him as to how they might destroy him. Now, I want you to think of the mindset here. What was completely missing was mercy and compassion on the part of the Jews. Jesus couldn't do anything right. But what he was doing, he was challenging their concept of law, the right of the law, versus the spirit of the law. And many of the Jews, the Pharisees and Sadducees, were completely void of the spirit of the law. I want you to keep that in mind. Brothers and sisters in Christ, there is the right of the law. But there's a spirit of the law as well. I don't think we talk about that very much. Jesus concluded, it says, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. What does he mean? If your ox falls in the ditch and it's on the Sabbath, what can you do? Pull him out. Is that work? What does the law say? Thou shalt not work on the Sabbath day. Is that the law? Yes. Well, what do you call you pulling the ox? Is that an exemption? No. Have you violated the law? Yes. What is it called? Mercy. From who? God. Compassion. So when Jesus healed on the Sabbath, what was he doing? He was doing much more work than getting an ox out of the well. Because that's just an ox. This is a man. He's healing. Was he working? Yes. Jesus claimed to do the works of his Father. It was work. Did Jesus violate the Sabbath? No. Because of mercy. The ox in the well came to be a statement for your excuse from some responsibility, including God's command. Well, why weren't you here Sunday? Well, my ox was in the well. Now, we all know you don't have an ox, and your ox didn't fall in the well, but what do you mean by that? Sometimes we say, well, I was providentially hindered. Well, there was something you were supposed to do because God commanded it, but you didn't do it. And why? Well, because you think you have a legitimate excuse. Has your ox fallen into a well? Or was your ox pushed in? I think we can establish beyond a shadow of a doubt that while sometimes exemptions are not stated, exemptions are allowed because of mercy and compassion. But is there any kind of reasoning and thinking behind using an exemption? Yes. The Lord's Supper. What does the law say? Now, I threw up Acts 20, verse 7. There's lots of other passages. But Acts 20, verse 7, the disciples came together on the first day of the week to break bread, right? So, what do we do every first day of the week? We come together. Notice the language. We come together to break bread. Is that the law? What is the exemption? Where is there stated an exemption to that law? There's none stated. So, when is the ox in the well for us? Okay, you die. Are you exempt from eating the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day? Now, I realize that's extreme, but extremism is important sometimes to make the point. Okay, if you're dead and it's the Lord's Day, I think mercy, compassion of God says you're exempt. Right? What if you're in the hospital? You're on the way to church and you have an accident. And by the time you get all that cleared up and everything, you missed the whole service. Did you sin? But maybe the reason you missed Sunday morning service is because you stayed up too late Saturday night and you were too tired and you just didn't come to church because you were too tired. Now, I'm not going to try to answer all these questions for you. I'm not your judge, jury, or executioner. I'm simply suggesting to us that we will have to answer to God. Because when God has demanded or has commanded, and then we say, we're excused, is it truly mercy and compassion, and is it truly an exemption? You won't have to answer to me, but you'll have to answer to God. So when we stop to consider the Lord's Supper, I want you to consider something in the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, chapter 9, did you know that there was a Passover makeup? Do you all remember the fact that there was a Passover? All right, in Numbers 9, verses 9 through 14, it's not the discussion about the first Passover that is served in the year. It's served in the first month, Nisan, on the 14th day. But what if you missed that? Well, this passage talks about the second serving, if you will. Notice in verse 9, Numbers chapter 9. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if any one of you, of your generations, becomes unclean. Now let's stop there just for a second. What happens when you become unclean? Well, you can, this gives an example of touching a dead body. But there's lots of things that can cause you to be unclean. Now, what does unclean mean? Unclean means that God says, you cannot come before me and worship. You are unclean. Sometimes it's overnight that you become clean. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's whatever. Maybe there's sacrifices involved. Okay? So there's lots of different causes of becoming unclean. So here it is, time to take the Passover, and all of a sudden you become unclean. What should you do? You don't go ahead and take the Passover in an unclean state. That is not acceptable. That is sinful. So you have to say, oh, my ox is in the ditch. I'm unclean. He also gives the idea if you're on a journey. You've gone somewhere, you're on a journey, and you miss it. Notice the text. He said, or on a distant journey. He may, however, observe the Passover of the Lord. In the second month, on the 14th day at twilight, they shall observe it. This is the next month, the same time, same fashion, so forth and so on. But notice verse 13. And the man who is clean and is not on a journey and yet neglects the Passover, to observe the Passover, that person shall then be cut off from his people. And he did not present the offering of the Lord at its appointed time, that man shall bear his sin. Now, the only reason I bring this up is because the Passover and the Lord's Supper, there are lots of connections. And simply to remind us, it is not unprecedented to have a second serving of the Lord's Supper for those who miss, based upon former teaching and the Passover. Now again, let me say this unequivocally. Passover and Lord's Supper are not synonymous, but they have likenesses. I'm simply saying that here the text, Moses allowed a makeup. But do you notice what he stressed? What if you missed the Passover, but you weren't unclean, but you said your ox was in the ditch, and it wasn't? You're not allowed to do the makeup. Did you notice that? What possible application could that have to us? Would anyone dare eat the Lord's Supper on Sunday night when they just did not come Sunday morning? I would suggest to you that the new law is silent about that. But things written aforetime were written for our learning. Do you really want to challenge God when the church comes together to eat the Lord's Supper, when we're all gathered together, but you just choose to do something else? You're not unclean, you're not on a journey, you just don't come. I'll go Sunday night and I'll eat it then. Now, all I'm doing is trying to get you to think and to study, to appreciate the concept of God's law versus mercy. It was possible for a Jew to claim unclean or ox in the well and yet still be guilty of neglect. Could the same be true today? I don't think our elders on Sunday night come up to anyone and start questioning them before they eat the Lord's Supper on Sunday night. Well, could you really have been here Sunday morning, but you just blew it? You just, didn't come? It wasn't because you were sick or on a journey or whatever. You just didn't do it. The elders don't do that. But I tell you who does that. Your judge does that because he knows your heart. We're to assemble together. A while back we did talk a little bit about being seen and heard. That's God's intent for the church. And really, I'm not thinking that any of us who are members of the Anderson Church are thinking that live stream or just being in the parking lot and not all being together in the building, that live streaming, that's the way God wants us to do it. I don't think anybody's concluded that. At least I hope you haven't. But this lesson is kind of trying to, you know, head it off at the pass, so to speak, for us to do some mental gymnastics on this. Because my fear is there are some that are becoming very comfortable with live stream. That's my fear. Because it's much easier and comfortable to sit home in your, you know, your pajamas and drink your coffee and watch church. There's a difference in being unclean and showing neglect. There is a difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 17, a passage we're very familiar with in regards to the eating of the Lord's Supper, you'll notice there at least twice, and I think inferred more than that, about coming together. Verse 17, and in giving this instruction, I do not praise you because you come together not for the better but for the worse. Verse 20, therefore when you meet together, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now my point in bringing this up, along with Hebrews 10 and verse 25, is not the forsaking of our coming together. What is God's intent for the church and worship today? What is God's law? We come together to worship God and eat the Lord's Supper. Is there an exemption stated? No. Would there be an exemption implied? Well, I think there could be an exemption implied. What if the ox is in the well? We serve the Lord's Supper, and somebody's in the hospital. Are they exempt? What about COVID-19? Now again, this part, we all have some differing ideas about that. Across the spectrum. So the challenge for us as Christians is to remain one, to be united. I think it's very possible for us to differ in mind and judgment about things, whether you wear a mask or you don't wear a mask. Whether you think this deal is a big deal or not. I think regardless of what you think about this virus, you're going to have to be very gentle and very understanding of people that have lost people to death because of the virus. You've got to give that. And be careful what you say. But is this a danger? Is this big a danger as, you know, we're being told that we need to, you know, not go to work, etc., etc. at times? I don't have the answers to all of that. Neither do our elders. Neither do you. You're just shooting in the dark like the rest of us. Okay? But this is an important question because it concerns us all. The elders decided to live stream in parking lot. When that was first came up and we talked about, okay, the government wants us to stay home and not even go to worship services. Well, what can we do? Well, we'll live stream. My first reaction to that, that is just ludicrous. But that's even beginning to be thought of as worship. And I'm going to tell you, I haven't changed my mind about that. Did I participate in it? Yes. And I'm begging for God's mercy. Because that is not what God designed. Well, parking lot. Well, the parking lot's closer. But I can't see those folks out there. Now, they can see me. They probably wish they did not see me. But they do see me. And they'll see some of the back of the heads of some of you all. Is that what God intended? No. I want this to be clear. And if I'm wrong, please show me I'm wrong. If I'm reasoning incorrectly, please, I beg of you, sincerely, show me. What God intended for the church is to come together and be together and worship together, to be seen and heard. But now there's an unprecedented health problem. I've heard this. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. You go ahead and you come to worship. And if you get it, you get it. If you die, you die. There are lots of brethren that have taken that position. But I do have this one caveat. This one stop and think about it. In the book of Acts, the church began to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. Got them to the thousands of Christians. And then Stephen was stoned to death. And that day that he was stoned to death, there was a young man that was holding the coats of those that stoned Stephen, and his name was Saul. The text says, and on that day began a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem. And far as the record is concerned, that's where the church was. Do you remember what happened on that day to the Christians? They all left Jerusalem. All of them left Jerusalem, except the apostles. I've never heard anybody say, well, where is the faith of those Christians? They should have stayed there and faced those trials and those difficulties. Where's their faith? They were all a bunch of cowards. They left. Do you know it was God's intent to spread them, to take the gospel to the whole world? Because they were just staying in Jerusalem. You know, there's a time to step up and fight, and there is a time to retreat and fight another day. I would be careful. I would be careful just to make the statement, if you don't come inside the church building when you are a high risk of health, that you don't have any faith. Let's be careful about that. Lepers and the unclean were to stay outside the camp. Numbers chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Please go back and read that. In other words, if you're a leper, you were not allowed to come into the camp. You had to stay outside. What did that mean? The same law. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, they could stay outside the camp and not do any work and not violate the Sabbath. But when they wanted to make sacrifices and come to the temple to worship God, they couldn't come. When? They were lepers for life. Can you imagine never ever being able to go to church? I'm talking about a precedent. Nobody got leprosy so that they didn't have to go to church. The law still requires assembling. But what if you get leprosy? Now fill in the blanks with that. How many times have you ever been a member of a congregation where there are those people, even if they have 103 temperature, they come to church anyway? They come to church and they've got strep throat. They come to church and they've got the cooties. What's the first thing we say? Are you sick? Yeah, man, I got 103 temperature. Well, you should have stayed home. No, the Lord said to assemble. You get my point? Is there compassion and mercy there in exemption? Mercy allows the oxen a well when something is beyond your control. Now, if I'm wrong about that, please point that out. I think we all agree to that. But when it comes to this COVID-19, we've been challenged. But I think it's also, we need to stop and consider if we push the ox in. Are you taking advantage of mercy and live streaming for your comfort? Obviously, I'm not talking to you right here. I am talking to those that are live streaming. Now, a good side. I must hurry. A good side of this is, if you will look on our Anderson Church of Christ Facebook page, and even with that page, you will notice that there are a bunch of people that are watching this that have not darkened the door of this building before. and I'm hearing this across the board all over the country, is that churches that are live streaming are having contacts with mucho people that they never had any contact with before. So that's a good thing. That's a great thing. Our elders have even already discussed the idea that when this is over, that we're going to quit live streaming. There is a reason why maybe, and I'm just pointing to this positive, that maybe we shouldn't consider that, because there's a whole bunch of people, while they haven't come here, which they ought to, if they want to, we encourage them to, but all they're getting is live streaming. Maybe they'll learn the truth and eventually they'll come here. That's positive. But you do have to admit the negative. I don't know that every person that is live streaming or in the parking lot is doing so just because of a health concern. I don't know that. But I wanted to at least put before you that if you are thinking in those kinds of terms, you need to rethink it. There's a big drop-off from Sunday a.m. to Sunday p.m. and Wednesday p.m. right now. Back before the pandemic, our Wednesday night, Sunday night attendance was awesome. So was our Sunday morning. But even from Sunday morning in-house to Sunday night and Wednesday night in-house, it drops off big time. Well, I'm live streaming at home. Okay. Is your ox in the well? I think it's a fair question. If you have legitimate health concerns, and I wanted to write this out to make sure I said it, this is not about people that have legitimate health concerns. We have people who are members of this church that have some very, very serious health concerns. And does Mercy, live stream, parking lot, etc.? That's not stated by the law. But is it allowed? I hope and pray to God that God allows that mercy and compassion for that. There's been a lot of us been touched by this virus. Some that's just not very sick at all. Some's got pretty sick. Some got real sick. You know, there was a good little while when we first started that some of us were even saying, a preacher buddy of mine was even putting a poll on the thing. Does anybody even know anybody that died of this? As if it's fake? I hadn't seen one of those questions in a long time. You know why? Because across the board, there's been Christians die of this. Is it serious? Yes. Is everybody going to get it? Probably not. Should you wear your mask? Probably. Well, some scientists said if you wear a mask, you're more likely to get sick. That's true. There are scientists say that it helps if you do wear it. You're going to have to decide. Elders recommended you wear them. But they left it up to you. You know, we can't tell everybody every move to make. You have to use your own conscience, use your own judgment, use your own sense, and do what you think's best for you, for your family. The main thing I wanted to state to us today is that live streaming and being in the parking lot is not what God intended. Why are we allowing it? Because of mercy and compassion for those that are unclean. For those whose oxen's in the well, those who have medical concerns. I hope you'll think about that and study about it. Because God knows the intent of our hearts. Well, I'm sure that's what you came here today to hear. I'm sure you were looking forward to this kind of lesson. Well, I apologize if you were needing and wanting something different today. I'll do my best to help provide encouragement, and the love of God in some future lessons. But I hope to I've demonstrated that there is a love of God in all that we've been talking about. Mercy and compassion. Jesus came and healed a man on the Sabbath. And brethren, the Jews just got upside down on that. I don't understand that. But this I do believe. That God is more compassionate and merciful than we give Him credit. But do not ever think because He is merciful and compassionate that He is also not strict. He is. Our challenge is to do the best we can to obey Him in all that He says. And let's be praying for His mercy. All of us need it. Our elders need mercy from God. This church needs mercy from God. It's good to challenge. It's good to ask questions. It's good to say, are we doing the right thing? That's good to question. Today, I hope at least to provide just a small piece of an answer. Thank you again for listening. Appreciate very, very much your attention. Well, we're going to sing Is Your Heart Right with God? And I think that's a very appropriate song that we sang together. Because today's lesson has been not to condemn, but to challenge. To challenge each of our hearts about what's right and what's wrong. And I hope that you, if you're not a Christian, that you will understand that obeying God, God loves you very, very much. He has great mercy and He has great compassion. And He will forgive you. But He does want you to obey His commands. So if you need to obey the gospel today, to become a Christian, we're here to help you to obey Jesus Christ. If you are a child of God and you need the prayers of the brethren here, we'll pray with you and pray for you. But it is God who is merciful and compassionate and will forgive through the blood of His Son. So if we can help you today in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?